This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to a juz a day. We are now in the ninth juz. Subhanallah, the Ramadan that started not that long ago is passing by us fast. Walhamdulillah, we ask Allah to accept from us all. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Today we have the ninth juz that has the beginning of Suratul the last part of Suratul Araf, Surah number 7, and the first part of Surah Anfal, that is Surah number 8 and Surah number 9. This is the two things that we have with us today. Suratul Anfal, we will cover, inshallah ta'ala, in a couple of parts. Like, we'll cover it a little bit today and we'll cover it a little bit tomorrow. But I'm actually going to jump between the juz when it comes to Suratul Anfal, because so as you will see, Suratul Anfal has many tangents, and those tangents are very, very powerful and very beautiful. I don't know what this is. It's a silly ad. All right. There we are. Let us go to the juz there. Juz number 9. Now, as you will see from juz number 9 here, that in the juz, in the very beginning of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the people of Shu'aib. The arrogant leaders of his people said, Shu'aib, we will expel you. Now, to be able to understand what happened, we kind of have to backtrack a little bit and go back to see what is it that Shu'aib alayhi salam was saying that caused that kind of reaction. Let's actually backtrack and go back to the beginning of the part that mentions the story of Shu'aib. That is ayah number 85. Okay, that ayah, which is in the previous juz, which is not a problem for us, but we will look at it. Ayah number 85 right here, which is in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَا أَخْوَاهُمْ شُعَيْبَ. To Midian, we sent their brother, Shu'aib. He said, O my people, worship God. يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ. As you have seen, the prophets all in the surahs of this, in the ayat of this surah, they all begin their dialogue with their people by saying, O my people, worship God. You have no God but Him. And this repetition in the Quran is intentional, because Allah wants us to realize that all prophets said the same thing. Every prophet came with the same message. All of them called people to the worship of Allah alone, irrespective of when they lived, irrespective of what language they spoke, irrespective of which area they were, which they lived in or they were born in. It doesn't matter. They all said the same thing. And the unity of the message across time, throughout time, throughout civilizations, that is the beautiful part of our religion. All humanity was sent this message, and it doesn't matter which person followed which prophet, as long as they followed their prophet and said, yes, we worship Allah alone, we are all brothers and sisters in faith across time. Subhanallah, it's beautiful. But not just that, also every prophet said the same thing. They're all bringing the same message, which is worshiping Allah. There is no other deity but Him. A clear sign has indeed come to you from your Lord. So give full measure and full weight, and do not deliver short. فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. You see, Shu'aib alayhi salam, right immediately after speaking about worshiping Allah alone, talks about being honest in business dealings. And this goes hand in hand with a person's belief. And also it tells us, Shu'aib alayhi salam, or the role of people who are religious, is not just to do something that is religious. It is to stop evil wherever evil may be. This is an evil thing that happened in the marketplaces. Shu'aib alayhi salam wanted to stop that because it was something that was evil. And it harmed everybody. All people were harmed by it, especially the underprivileged. And Shu'aib alayhi salam mentioned that. And that is for us the example. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not corrupt the land after it has been set in order. This is for your own good if you are true believers. وَلَا تَقْعُدُوا بِكُلِّ صِرَاطٍ. Do not lie in ambush on every pathway, threatening people, barring those who believe from the way of God, seeking to make it appear crooked. Don't physically intimidate people who want to believe. Don't threaten them physically. Don't bar them from worshiping Allah. Let the people choose. Let the people choose. Why must you intimidate people with force? Why must you stop people who are trying to follow Allah and His Messenger? This is an important thing Shu'aib alayhi salam is saying. As you can see, he's not the one in the position of power. They are. They are the ones who are in power and in control. But he still, alayhi salam, makes his case, makes his points. Even if those points are met with resistance, he is going to make them. The interesting thing also is that don't bar people from the way of Allah. وَتَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This is important. We shouldn't be people who are stopping others from good. This is like the way we are. We should be as believers. If there's something good happening, we should let it happen. Even if it's not from us, even if, for example, we don't fully like endorse it. But if it is something good, let it be. At least don't be the person who stops someone from going and doing and being in a good environment, participating in good. Don't be that person. That is what Shu'aib al-Islam says. That's what actually we should all be doing too in our lives. Don't stop people from being from doing good. Don't discredit people who do good. Let the people be. Let them be, and just focus on your own self. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. He says the response of the people of Shu'aib, the mala, this is the word that's very interesting that will come again and again in this surah. It comes in the story of Shu'aib, it came in the story of Nuh, it came in the story of Hud, it came in the story of Salih, it came in the story of Lut. Al-mala, al-mala, al-mala. The leaders, the chiefs, those who literally, mala'a means to be full. They are full in the sense that they are full of power and authority. That's who al-mala'a are. Not just people who are rich necessarily, not just people because there's like one king. But these are people who have power and authority and they have concentrated it, and thus they are able to influence society. This is what who Allah calls the leaders, the mala. And you can see, how the implication of this are severe. Today, al-mala oftentimes are people who are extremely rich and they have controlling interests in business. Even if no one knows who they are, their influence from behind the scene affects policy. Al-mala today are people who are influencers on social media. There's a person who doesn't, has no real qualification, but because of the way they look or because they have gained some fame, they become extremely, extremely influential. And this is a very strange thing. But this phenomena, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights, al-mala, these are the people who the others follow. And that's something we should understand. Now, ayah number 88 says, the arrogant leaders of Shu'aib, of his people, said, Shu'aib, we will expel you and your fellow believers from our town unless you return to our faith. Okay, now they are trying to physically threaten their existence. He says, even if we detest it, like even if we don't like the fact that we don't like your religion, even if then you will force us to become who we don't want to be. This continues. This conversation continues. They say that, look, we would be inventing lies against Allah if we return to your faith after God had delivered us from it. It is not for us to return to it unless God, our Lord, so willed. He, wasi'a rabbuna kulla shay'in ilma. Our Lord encompasses all things in His knowledge. We have put our trust in our Lord. Ala Allahi tawakkalna. Rabbana, O our Lord, iftah baynana wa bayna qawmina bilhaq. Expose the truth between us and our people. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ You are the best of those who judges. So subhanAllah, this is the thing. They're like, look, you're going to force us, you will threaten us. We're not going to go back to that. We will put our trust in our Lord, and we will, you know, make dua, and we will be patient in the face of this difficult situation that we are in. This is a very important principle that we will see in the next surahs, that patience and strength is required before victory. Okay, this is what we'll see in the story of Musa and Fir'aun. This is what we'll see in the story or in the Surah Al-Anfal. Patience and strength is required before victory of Allah comes. You have to be a person or a nation that is patient and a nation that is strong. And then and only then does Allah's victory come. So they are demonstrating that strength, even though physically they don't have the influence or the power to stand up. Now, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجَفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ Thereupon an earthquake overtook them, and mourning found them lying flattened in their homes. This was their punishment. It was a like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine punishment sent to them in this world. أَلَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعَيْبًا كَأَن لَّمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا Because those who had denied Shu'aib became as if they had never lived there. Those who denied Shu'aib were themselves the losers. This is the moral. This is how all the stories of the prophets in the Quran end. The prophet, with the exception of like Isa and Ibrahim and whatnot, but like the prophets that I mentioned here, Nuh, Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, Lut, that Allah sends them to the people reject them, and then Allah sends His punishment upon the people who rejected them, and at the end of the day, the prophets are victorious. And this is Allah's message to the Prophet ﷺ, that you be patient, you'll be victorious as well, just like these other prophets were victorious. And it's a message for all of us as well, that look, it's not always, things always don't happen right away. We have to be patient, and Allah's victory will come. Now the difference that, as we will see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no longer punishes people or destroys the enemies of a prophet through a divine punishment. The last of that instance would be Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. After that, there's no more. After that, the believers have to fight in the cause of God, have to fight in defense of their faith, and through their hands, Allah's victory comes. And that's actually the next surah, Surah Al-Anfal. That's where that comes. Okay, so this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights and makes clear, that this is how things were in the past. Allah has always helped His prophets. So be patient. But now the help of Allah to His prophets and the cause of Allah has to be through the hands of the believers, and not by a divine punishment descending from the sky. Shu'aib alayhi salam is really saddened by this demise of his people. He says, my people, I delivered my Lord's messages to you and I gave you sincere advice. So why should I grieve for people who refuse to believe? فَكَيْفَ أَسَىٰ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ I did my job, you didn't listen. How do you expect me to have sympathy for you? Some important lessons and commentary on the stories of prophets. There's a lot of destruction here, subhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, look, this is done. مَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ Whenever we sent a prophet to a town, we afflicted its people with suffering and adversity so they may humble themselves before God. I.e., tough times that Allah sends upon people, it's there to break their arrogance. It's there to break their, bring them out of their comfort zone. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these people. Yet, a lot of these people don't take heed from these, from this situation. And He mentions this about us as well, that وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ We will make them taste the smaller punishment before the larger punishment. Smaller punishment here is the ups and downs of life. The larger punishment, of course, is in the next life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is done, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Perhaps they will change their ways. Perhaps they will return back to us, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idea being that the difficulties of life that Allah sends upon us, tough times, often is done to remind us of, to humble us, to give us a dose of humility, and so that we may turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, also, he says, there's a significant lesson in these cities. Ayah number 100. أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِي لِلَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَهْلِهَا أَلَّوْ نَشَاءُ أَصَبْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَنَطْبَعُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Does it not guide the people who inherit the land from former people that we can punish them for their sins if we will, and seal up their hearts so that they will not be able to lend an ear to the words of guidance? This is a very important question that Allah asks. It's a hypothetical question. Like, is it not enough for you to hear about and see what Allah had done to people who disbelieved? Is that not enough of a lesson? Is that not enough of a sign for you to take heed? And if a person continues to reject the signs of Allah, continues to ignore them, then Allah says, وَنَطْبَعُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We will seal up their hearts. So then there is the words of guidance won't enter the ears and won't reach the hearts. That is a very dangerous situation. Living in a state almost of an extended heedlessness or extended sinfulness causes that, and that's a scary reality Allah is warning us against. Then he goes on to Musa and Fir'aun. Now, Musa and alayhi salam's story is mentioned in two parts. Musa and Fir'aun, then Musa and Bani Israel. Okay? And now what's interesting about Musa alayhi salam is that all of the prophets before, Nuh, Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, Lut, these five together are about half a juz. And Musa alayhi salam by himself is about half a juz. MashaAllah. That tells you the story of Musa alayhi salam is so much more mentioned and so much more emphasized in the Quran. He is the most frequently mentioned prophet in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. I have tossed my love at you. Meaning Allah loved Musa alayhi salam very much. And I have prepared you for myself. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. So subhanAllah, his life is mentioned in a lot of detail. In Surah 28, we'll see his life as a baby. Okay? And then we'll see in Surah 28, his life as a young man. In this surah, we're seeing him after he is a full-grown man. Like he is returning to his people to free them from slavery. And then what happens after he frees them from slavery. So all over the place in the Quran, Musa al-Islam's whole life is mentioned. And it's a beautiful story because there are so many lessons for us in that. Here is where it starts. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. And after them, we send Moses with our signs to the Pharaoh and his chiefs. And again, al-mala, right? Remember, the Pharaoh is the leader. He is the man. He is the one who would claim to be God himself. Okay? But the mala are just as important. The people of power and influence. The people who shape policy, the people who others than the commoners follow, that is al-mala. Allah mentions them because they are very critical in this story, okay? As they are in all stories, they willfully rejected them. Consider the end of the evildoers in that case, the Fir'aun and his chiefs. قَالَ مُوسَى يَا فِرْعَوْنُ إِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Musa alayhi salam said, Pharaoh, I am a messenger from the Lord of the universe. And I am a true messenger. حَقِيقٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا أَقُولَ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Duty bound to say nothing about God but the truth. Okay? And I have brought to you a clear sign from your Lord. Then let the children of Israel go with me. فَأَرْسِلْ مَعِيَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Let my people go. Okay? قَالَ إِن كُنْتَ جِئْتَ بِآيَةٍ فَأْتِ بِهَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Pharaoh said, if you have come with a sign, then produce it. But what's your evidence? What's your sign, Musa? فَأَلْقَى عَصَاهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ. He threw down his staff, and suddenly, unmistakably, it appeared as a serpent, as a snake. And he drew forth his hand, and it appeared shining white to the beholders. He put it in his armpit and drew it out, and it was like, you know, like a radiant, it was radiant and giving off light, it was something that was truly spectacular and miraculous. Now, the chiefs of the Pharaoh, again, Al-Mala, remember, they are the people who shape the way people do things, what people think, who they follow. And in this case, Fir'aun himself is going to be influenced by these people. The chiefs of the Pharaoh said, this is most surely a skillful magician. He seeks to drive you out from your land. The Pharaoh said, what do you advise? ماذا تأمرون? They said, let him and his brother wait a while and send into the city summoners, people to gather who bring every skillful magician to you. And let's have a battle of magic. You know, let's bring our magicians and let him bring his magic and let's see who wins. Okay. Now the magicians came to the Pharaoh and they asked, shall we have a reward if we should prevail? Because they wanted money. Okay. For them, there was no like, they were like hired mercenaries. They're not doing it for like a cause. They're doing it for financial gains. Fir'aun says, yes, you will have money and you will also become al-muqarrabin. You will be close to me. I'll give you significance. You will become important people. Just maybe power is even more, important to people than money at oftentimes, you know. And this is what Fir'aun was offering. He offered them both. I'll give you money and I'll give you power and influence. They said, Moses, will you first throw or shall we? He said, why don't you throw first? Okay. قَالَ أَلْقُوا. Now, these people were skilled and they were powerful magicians. So when they made their cast, they bewitched the eyes of the people and struck them with awe, for they showed a great feat of magic. وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ. Actually, this word right here, struck them with awe. They frightened the people. They frightened them. People were like scared and petrified at this show of magic. Now, Musa alayhi salam in other parts of the Quran was also fearing a little bit, you know, scared, because he's a human being. That's what human beings do. Like, we fear, we have emotions, right? And this is the emotion that Musa alayhi salam was feeling at that point. And who wouldn't? You are a one man against this massive collection of magicians, and they are all hired by the tyrant. You are going up against literally the Pharaoh. Who wouldn't be scared? It would be inhuman not to be scared. So he felt a little scared, but then Allah was there to support him and inspire him and grant him the peace that he needed to proceed with his mission. He said, throw down your staff. أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَلْقِي عَصَاكَ. And this is what Allah does. He always is there in our moments of desperation, in our moments of weakness. Allah will be there with us. He's always there with the prophets. He's always been there with the prophets. He will always be there with us as well. And see, it's not like a problem to feel insecure sometimes or feel afraid. It's okay. The prophets even felt afraid. But the key is to believe Allah's help is there and know it's coming. And when that is the case, Allah's help 100% does come. Throw down your staff, and immediately it swallowed up their false devices. Immediately, this now, the magic trick was exposed, and Musa alayhi salam's serpent was a real serpent, because it was a real real miracle. فَغُولِبُوا هُنَالِكَ وَانْقَلَبُوا صَاغِرِينَ. Now the Pharaoh and his men were defeated, and they were humiliated. This was a humiliating defeat at the hand of Musa, at the hands of Musa alayhi salam, because they thought they could outdo him. But there was an unexpected turn to the story. أُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. These sorcerers prostrated themselves, saying, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We believe in the Lord of the universe, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. Allahu Akbar. What happened there? The magicians realized this is no magic. The magicians were like, this is a true miracle. This is a prophet. And this what just happened, it's not doable by a man. This is 100% an inspiration from God himself. So immediately these magicians accepted Musa alayhi salam, accepted Islam, and declared their faith. Subhanallah. How amazing. How amazing is Allah's help that not only did he humiliate the Pharaoh, but these people who were against Musa turned into his allies. Fir'aun said, "You are, how dare you believe in him before I have given you permission? Look at the tyranny. How dare you believe? How dare you think before I tell you what to think?" Huh? He says, "This is indeed a plot which you have devised in the city in order to drive its people out. But soon you'll know I am going to chop up your hands and your feet on alternate sides, and then I'll crucify you all. I'm going to punish you in a way that is so painful, even reading it hurts." Okay? Look at the courage that iman is supposed to give. The courage faith is supposed to give to a person. Because now when you're afraid of Allah, you are not afraid of the consequences of what people do to you. Okay? Because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at the end going to take care of you. What do they say? They say, "We will surely return to our Lord." Okay? You're going to kill us? Guess what? We're going to all go back to our Lord. And what you're going to do to us, you will only punish us because we saw the signs of our Lord. We saw the signs of our Lord and we accepted, and you didn't, and that's why you're mad. And that's what you're punishing us for. They made dua again, "Our Lord, pour patience upon us and cause us to die in a state of submission to you." Look at the iman of these amazing magicians. They are now making this amazing dua. Notice the people of Shu'aib, they were making dua right before they were put into a difficult situation. Here, Musa alayhi salam's magicians, or the magicians who followed him, they know they're going to be in a lot of trouble. They're making dua, because dua is the way we seek Allah's help. Dua is where we find our solace. Okay, now, the chiefs, on the other hand, were like, "Hey, you're going to kill these magicians. They won't do anything. Moses is still around. So do something about that. What are you going to do?" Now, Fir'aun couldn't go after Musa. And there were some reasons for that. Reason number one is actually Musa alayhi salam grew up in the house of the Pharaoh. So there was, it would be strange for the Pharaoh to attack and go after Musa, because it would look bad on him. This was a child you raised, and now all of a sudden you're trying to kill him. Okay, and he hasn't done anything to you. Why are you killing him? Okay, so people would turn on him. But also, Musa alayhi salam was getting influential, and killing an influential person sometimes only stokes the fire more, only riles up the revolution more. Okay, so Fir'aun did something extremely nasty but very clever. He says, "I'm going to punish Musa by punishing his people. سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. We shall kill their male children and spare only the females. And we have complete power over them. They can't do anything. They won't be able to stop us." Now think about that. This is a very painful thing for Musa alayhi salam to experience. To see his people suffer because of him. That hurts. That really hurts. That's what the people of Quraysh did to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were like, "You know what? We can't really hurt the Prophet, because if we do, there will be a war. His family will fight all of us and all of us will die. No one's going to be spared from this." So what did they do? They started to torture Bilal. They started to torture Suhaib. They started to torture Khabbab, the weak Sahaba. And that would hurt the Prophet. And that is how they got to the Prophet ﷺ, by hurting his companions. So this is the same thing the Pharaoh is doing here as well. Musa a.s. says, patience and strength is required before victory. He says, "My people, turn to God for help and be patient. Istaeenu billahi wasbiru. Innal arda lillah. The earth belongs to Allah. Don't despair. Right now we're under the oppression of the Fir'aun, but the earth is Allah's. Allah will give us, a way out. He gives it to those of his servants whom he chooses, and the future belongs to the God-fearing." He's like, don't worry. Right now we're in trouble, but the future is ours. Subhanallah, it takes a lot of iman, a lot of conviction to be this optimistic in the face of such difficulty. Okay, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually, before he set the people, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to Bani Israel, he would send punishment to Fir'aun. Okay, and the punishment of Fir'aun would be to remind him that he is a mere mortal, and a hope that maybe he'll understand and maybe he'll let Bani Israel go. So what does Allah say? We afflicted Pharaoh's people with shortages of food and famine, so they might take heed. Again, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Tough times to break their arrogance. Maybe they'll learn some humility, learn a lesson, end the feud, and let Musa and his people go. Okay? So what was it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in difficulty, and then evil would come upon them. They would blame Musa for it, and they would try to say, Moses, this is because of you. They would say, مَهْمَ تَأْتِنَا بِهِ مِنْ آيَةٍ لِتَسْحَرَنَا بِهَا فَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Whatever it is, whatever miracles you work to bewitch us with, we will not believe in you. They're like, we're not believing in you, Musa, do whatever you want. Then Allah sends upon them, فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانِ, the storm, وَالْجَرَادِ, the locust, number two, وَالْقُمَّلْ, the lice, locusts that just surrounded them and ate up their crops, lice infecting all of them, وَالْضَفَادِعَ, the frogs that were raining from the sky or appearing out of everywhere, وَالْدَمْ, and blood, their water turned into blood, their wells turned into blood. آيَاتٍ مُفَصَّلَاتٍ, five signs like this, clear signs, miraculous signs. Not something that's like an occurrence of, you know, like nature. It is a miracle that breaks the laws of nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this to them one after the other, one after the other. So maybe they will learn some humility. فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا. But they were steeped in arrogance. And that's because they were a criminal people. وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ. This is the thing. A person who is an arrogant person, or a, you know, people who are arrogant people, when they refuse to see the flaws in themselves, they believe they're right, it doesn't matter what happens. That is a sign of extremely arrogant, extremely wretched person. And that's what these people were. And what's even more wretched is how their attitude was. When something bad would happen, they're like, hey, Musa, please help. You know, pray to your Lord that he takes this away from us. But then when he would take... And then it would say, لَإِنْ كَشَفْتَ عَنَّ رِجْزَ لَنُؤْمِنَنَّ لَكَ وَلَنُرْسِنَنَّ مَعَكَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. If you remove this from this plague from us, we will surely believe in you and let the children of Israel go with you. Just please remove this. We're suffering. فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمُ الرِّجْزَ. But whenever we remove the evil from them, the plague from them, giving them time to make good on their promise, they would break their word. A sign of wretched people. People who are just evil. They are steeped in arrogance, can't see what the wrong that they do, breaking their promises, can't keep their words, lying through their teeth. These are symptoms of arrogance, of terrible character, of a wicked person, not a righteous person. And that is what Allah describes about Fir'aun and his people. That's how they were. Now this should be a pause for us. Like, how many of these characteristics do we have? Like, if someone points out to us something that we did wrong, do we accept the mistake, or do we arrogantly, stubbornly refuse? How is it that do we make and keep our promises? I mean, we spoke about keeping commitments in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, right? How is it, are we people who keep our word or not? Are we people who can make promises and keep them or not? These are questions. Look at how Fir'aun and his people were. And that's because كَانُوا قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ. That's a sign of people who are inclined to sin, who are spiritually criminal. That's a dangerous state. Spiritually being a criminal, that is a tough place to recover from. Okay? And then, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to Bani Israel, saves them. أَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمْ, extracted retribution, and drowned them in the sea, and gave the people who were weak, أَوْرَثْنَا الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُسْتَضَعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The people who were considered يُسْتَضَعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا, the people considered weak across the world, we gave them the control over the land which we had blessed. The most valuable place on earth, we gave them that at that time, of course, despite the fact they were considered to be extremely weak and oppressed. And that is Allah's way. He can lift a people up. out of, you know, very, very oppressed situations and make them, you know, powerful and strong. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Thus the good, your Lord's good promise to the children of Israel was fulfilled. Bima sabaru, because of their patience. You notice here how Bani Israel is being praised here? Because of their patience. Allah is praising them. They remained patient. They stood Fir'aun's threats. They withstood his killings. They were there. They held their ground until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued them. وَدَمَّرْنَا مَا كَانَ يَصْنَعُ فِرْعَوْنُ وَقَوْمُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْرِشُونَ. And destroyed all that the Pharaoh and his people had built, and all that they had raised high. SubhanAllah, this is for us a lesson, that patience, victory comes through patience. Strength and patience is required before victory. And this is, again, how truth and falsehood are differentiated. This is the theme of this surah. How here is a battle of good and evil, truth and falsehood, and how truth eventually triumphs as long as the people of the truth are patient and strong long enough. Now, subhanAllah, you may think Bani Israel are like super awesome. Well, Bani Israel had many pathetic things that they did. And now herein lies a complex battle of truth and falsehood. Bani Israel are followers of Musa. They are, you know, people who, if they follow the Prophet Musa, they're people going to Jannah, right? Because they're following their Prophet, they're worshipping Allah, right? These are people who we consider to be people who've attained salvation. Yet, these are people who would do unforgivable sin after unforgivable sin. Have a terrible attitude from start to finish with their Prophet. And this is a complex battle of truth and falsehood. That battle between Musa and Fir'aun, very clear who's right and very clear who's wrong. But now here are people who are believers. That's how do you figure out who's right and who's wrong? That is the next part of this story, a very fascinating part. Ayah number 138, Allah says, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرِ فَأَتَوْ عَلَى قَوْمِ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَى أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ. Bani Israel's pathetic behavior. What did they do? Allah brought them from across the sea. They came upon a people who were devoted to their idols, a people who were sitting with their idols, worshipping their idols. What does Bani Israel say? They say, Moses, give us a God just like the gods that these people have. اِجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَٰهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَا. Hey Moses, this looks nice. They have idols. Can we get some idols too? Ridiculous. You were just saved by Allah. You were just saved by Allah. And now you want to worship a rock and a stone? And Musa alayhi salam replies, إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. You are indeed an ignorant people. You know, like, do you not understand? إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ مُتَبَّرٌ مَا هُمْ فِيهِ وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. These are people, what they're engaged in is doomed to destruction, and their works are in vain. The stuff is just has no power, no might. It doesn't mean anything. SubhanAllah. But this is what their request was. So Musa alayhi salam rebukes them. And it's very sad to see that he had to rebuke them. Now Musa alayhi salam goes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that's a beautiful passage. Musa alayhi salam goes. By the way, before he goes, he actually reminds them. He says, look, how could you worship anything other than Allah when he has chosen you? He saved you, right? Remember all his favors. Then he says, Allah says, Musa alayhi salam was, Allah had tasked him to come and see him. وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلًا وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلًا. We appointed 30 nights for Moses, then added 10 more. The term set by his Lord was fulfilled in 40 nights. Musa alayhi salam is going to meet his Lord. He says to his brother Harun, Aaron, take my place among the people. Act rightly. Don't follow the way of those who spread corruption. This is important. Sometimes you got to delegate. Okay, so Musa alayhi salam is delegating the task of leading Bani Israel to a trusted individual, Harun. Okay, this is great. Now, Musa alayhi salam goes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. And his Lord spoke to him. And that's an amazing thing. That is something that was special for Musa alayhi salam, that Allah spoke directly to him gave him revelation directly through his speech without like an angel in between as an intermediary. Now Musa alayhi salam requests something. He says to Allah, he says, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. My Lord, show yourself to me so that I may look at you. Not so that he, not because he doesn't believe, but now he want his love for Allah is so strong. His love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so deep. After hearing Allah, he wants to see Allah to fulfill his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to look at Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, "Lan tarani, you can't see me in this world, but look at the mountains. This is going to be a demonstration for you how it's impossible for you to perceive me in this world. Look at the mountain. And if the mountain, I am going to reveal myself to this mountain, if it remains in its place, then only you can see me. But then as his Lord manifested himself to the mountain and displayed himself to the mountain, ja'alahu dakka, it broke, he broke it into pieces, and Musa alayhi salam fell unconscious. When he recovered, he said, Subhanaka, glory be to you, Allah, I turn to you, and I'm the first to believe. Musa alayhi salam was asking this out of love, not because of doubt. Allah says, "Inna istafaytuka 'ala an-nasi." Moses, I have chosen you of all of mankind. I am chosen you, Moses. You are my chosen one. I've chosen you for my message and through my words. You have the you are the one who I speak to. فَخُذْ مَا أَتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Hold fast to what I have given you and be among the grateful. Subhanallah, Musa alayhi salam was a chosen one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to, and he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immensely. And that is perhaps one reason why he's mentioned so much in the Quran, because Allah loves him so much that he mentions him again and again in the Quran. Now, after this, Allah mentioned, gave him the Torah, and he gave it to him on the tablets. He wrote it to, it was written for him. And it was something that he was supposed to bring to the people. Now, subhanallah, Musa alayhi salam, as he's meeting his Lord, Bani Israel's pathetic behavior, number two. Ayah number 148. وَاتَّخَذَ قَوْمُ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ حُلِيِّهِمْ عِجَلًا جَسَدًا لَهُ خُوَارٌ. In his absence, the people of Moses made a calf from their ornaments, an image that made a lowing sound, a blowing sound. Could they not see that it did not speak to them or guide them in any way? They took to worshipping it, and they were evildoers. Subhanallah. This was as Musa alayhi salam is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, receiving divine revelation that will guide them to the right path. These people are worshipping a calf. Allahul musta'an. And this is something that that they did. And as we'll see in Surah number 20, Surah Taha, that when Harun alayhi salam wanted to stop them, they threatened him physically. Okay, now Musa alayhi salam comes back and he is angry. Musa alayhi salam returns. وَلَمَّا رَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. He was angry and he was really sad. And this is a very difficult emotion when you're angry and sad. You're disappointed because you've been betrayed. And you're angry because you've been betrayed. Both things. He said, what an awful sin you have committed in my absence. بِئْسَ مَا خَلَفْتُمُونِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. It's like the worst thing you could do is to worship somebody besides Allah, and that's what you did in my absence. Okay? He was so angry. وَأَلْقَ الْأَلْوَاحِ. He threw down the tablets. Because sometimes in anger we do these things. He was so angry, the tablets that he received from Allah that has a revelation, he threw them down. Okay? وَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِ أَخِيهِ يَجُرُّهُ إِلَيْهِ. He grabbed his brother by the head. And another ayah, grabbed him by his beard and pulled him, right? Delegation sometimes doesn't work. He delegated it to Harun. It didn't really work, okay? He's asking him, what happened? How'd you let these people worship a calf? How are they worshiping idols? Harun al-Islam said, Yabna son of my mother, my brother, stop it, right? The people oppressed me. Innal qawma stada'afuni. They made me weak. They ganged up on me. Wakadu yaqtulunani. And they almost killed me. فَلَا تُشْمِتْ بِيَ الْأَعْدَىٰ. So don't give my enemies cause to gloat over me. Or don't let our enemies celebrate by, seeing us fight. وَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And don't count me among those who are wrongdoers. He said, look, I didn't do this. I stopped them. They ganged up on me. If we are fighting, these people will celebrate. The ones who are the wrongdoers. And this is key. When the righteous start to like quibble and fight, that actually makes the people who are wicked, it makes them happy to see the righteous quibbling and fighting. So he says, don't do that. And this is a lot of wisdom from Harun alayhi salam that he's demonstrating here. Now, subhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam makes dua to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me and my brother, and allow us to be admitted to your mercy. And you are the one who is the most merciful of those who are merciful. Okay, now he regroups himself. He makes dua. He, in a way, also apologizes to his brother for rashly treating him in this manner. One of the things to notice here, by the way, is Harun alayhi salam in the Bible is mentioned as if he was worshipping the calf himself. Like he joined the worship of the calf. That is blasphemous. We don't accept that in any way, shape, or form. And the Quran, multiple times, actually makes this point. Harun alayhi salam tried to stop them, but they ganged up on him and tried to, you know, threaten to even kill him. Okay? Because Harun alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah, it's not befitting to for a person, a normal person, to worship a other than Allah. For a prophet, it's impossible. And Harun alayhi salam, of course, is the furthest from that, like all prophets. So the Quran actually makes it a clear point to correct what's in the Bible. And that is a beautiful thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does when it comes to the stories of the prophets, to point out and correct the mistakes that were incorporated in the Bible by the scribes by mistake or intentionally. Now, the Musa alayhi salam was, of course, the people who did this were, their punishment was that they were executed. This was their punishment. Okay, but eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا سَكَتَ عَن مُوسَى الْغَضَبُ أَخَذَ الْأَلْوَاحِ. When his anger subsided, Moses took up the tablets upon which was inscribed a pledge of guidance and mercy for those who fear their Lord. Okay, and this is again shows you the emotions that a person feels. Musa alayhi salam felt fear when he was up against the odds. Musa alayhi salam felt angry and sad when he was betrayed. Musa alayhi salam, now his anger has subsided. These are human emotions. And that's something the Quran teaches us to be, like understand how our emotions are so we can better deal with them. And the example of the prophets is a great example of how they're, you know, going through these this roller coaster of emotions and managing them to the best of their ability with Allah's help, with the help of dua. Now, Musa alayhi salam then takes some people to apologize to Allah. 70 people he takes with him to make a apology to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they had done. As they went to that to make their apology, they were, you know, they had asked Musa alayhi salam, we want to see God. Arina Allah jahra, just like you speak to God, we want to see him and speak to him as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry at that that transgression. Musa alayhi salam says, "Atuhlikuna bima fa'ala sufaha'u minna?" Oh, our Lord, would you destroy us for the deeds of the foolish amongst us? This is your trial, and you know, forgive us and have mercy on us. Then those people were brought back to life, and they asked for Allah's forgiveness. As they were asking for Allah's forgiveness, in this meeting of the 70 people and Musa alayhi salam with Allah, that's when Allah mentions to them about the Prophet الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. The Prophet was told to them from that point, right now you have Musa, eventually the last prophet will come, who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the unlettered prophet. Okay? And this is an amazing thing the Quran mentions at this point, that Bani Israel knew all along about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they chose to hide it or fabricate the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their scriptures. And when he finally arrived, they chose to reject him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, now Musa alayhi salam, not all of them were bad. Again, the Quran is not just a book that, you know, paints everybody with the same brush. وَمِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَهْدِلُونَ. There were a group of people amongst the people of Moses who guide with the truth and act justly in accordance with it. There are those who lived the promise of the Torah. They're the ones whose repentance was sincere. They lived with it, they died with it, and they kept practicing the faith of Moses until the Prophet came. And when they saw the Prophet, they accepted the Prophet because they were truthfully believers in Musa alayhi salam and in the true revelation that was given to him. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Sabbath. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ Ayah number 166. Ask them about the town which was by the sea and what befell its people when they broke the Sabbath. On their Sabbath, Saturday, the fish came to them near the surface. But on weekdays, the fish would not come near them. Thus, we tried them because of their disobedience. This was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day they're not supposed to fish, the fish would just come and be like, take me, right? And the day that they're supposed to not fish, or the day that they're supposed to fish, there is no fish in the sea and they are now struggling. But that was a trial. Bima kanu yafsuqun, because of their disobedience. Disobedience and collective sins does bring a lack of blessings. And that's what is highlighted in the Quran again and again. Now, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ there were some people who said, why do you admonish a people that Allah is going to destroy or afflict with a severe punishment? They answered, in order to be free from blame before your Lord, and that they may fear him. What happened here? The people of the Sabbath, what they would do is that they would leave their nets on Friday and say, okay, we're not fishing on Saturday. But their nets would catch the fish on Saturday and be like, hey, see, we're not fishing, but our nets are just catching fish, by themselves. And then on Sunday, they'll go and just grab their fish and, benefit. But that was breaking the law of the Sabbath. Now, there were people who were good people in that community. They said to these fishermen, what you're doing is wrong. Stop it. As they were telling them that this is wrong, another group of people, the onlookers, would tell these good Samaritans, why are you even bothering? Why would you bother telling these people? They're not going to listen and Allah is going to destroy them. Why would you bother trying to change their ways? The answer is amazing. Their answer is, مَعَذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ In order to be free from blame before your Lord, to tell Allah, oh Allah, we did our part. Our job was to tell them, we told them. So we are not held accountable for their mistakes. And also maybe someone will listen. You don't know for a fact that these people won't listen. And this is why when something is good or something, is evil, we try our best to correct it with wisdom and in a good way. Not just because it feels good or something. No, ma'adhiratan lil rabbikum. We have done our part, O Allah. We tried our best. And also, perhaps the people who are doing something wrong might change their ways. Okay. Then, of course, they did not stop. And as they did not stop, they were turned into كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ be as apes despised. What happened is the people who were doing this, they were turned into apes. And came to their families. Their families, couldn't recognize them, but they could recognize obviously their families. And then they just died off, and their progeny would not continue. So it's not like they gave birth to like another next like ape child or something. No, it was just they were turned into apes and then they died. But their punishment was humiliation before they died, ultimate humiliation for making a joke out of the laws of the Torah. Making the joke out of the laws of the revelation, and thus they were turned into these apes, and that's the story of the Sabbath as mentioned in the Quran. Not all of them were bad though. Ayah number 168, Allah says, right? وَقَطَّعْنَاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُمَمًا They were spread all over the earth, the followers of Musa alayhi salam, all over the world. مِنْهُمُ الصَّالِحُونَ Some righteous, some otherwise. We tested them with blessings and misfortunes, so they might return to the right path. This is, again, the Quran mentions this again and again, that there are mistakes, there were pathetic things that they did, absolutely unconscionable demands they made of Musa alayhi salam, but of course, they were also good people, people who followed, people who were truthful, people who, were true believers. Okay? All of that is mentioned, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes that passage by describing that those who hold fast to the book and are steadfast in prayer, we shall not deny the righteous their reward. Okay, inna la nudi'u ajra al-muslihin. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fitrah, the story of Adam and the children of Adam, all of us, by the way. Okay, when your Lord brought forth offspring from the loins of the children of Adam and made them bear witness about themselves, he said, am I not your Lord? They replied, we bear witness that you are. This he did, lest you should say on the day of resurrection, we had no knowledge of that. Or lest you say, our forefathers did shirk before our time, and we are only descendants who came after us. Are you going to destroy us for what those inventors of falsehood did? Like, are you going to destroy us for the sins of our forefathers? We were just following. We were just their kids. They were mushrikeen, so we're mushrikeen. They're kafir, so we're kafir, right? Why would you destroy us, O Allah? But here is the thing that Allah says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought every single person's soul into existence before their body, okay? And gathered the soul of every single human being along with Adam alayhi salam. And when he did that, he made them testify. Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? They replied, Bala, we bear witness that you are. Bala shahidna. Okay? This was done. And the remnants of that is in all of our souls as the fitrah, as the natural inclination to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the fitrah that is in every single human being's soul. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Like Allah says, we made humans in the best form, meaning they're born on fitrah, their soul is pure, they're born sinless, but then the society around them could corrupt them. Okay, the people that they are around would corrupt them. But the nature of a person or the fitrah of a person is in their soul. The kafir is the one who buries that fitrah deep, deep, deep under until it dies. Or it doesn't even, you know, cause him to think about what he's doing. That's what actually kafir means. Someone who takes a seed and buries it under the depth of the earth. So kufr is actually that. Burying our fitrah, rejecting our fitrah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all of us testify our souls and left a reminder of that in our souls as our fitrah, lest someone comes on the day of judgment saying, Allah, I had no idea about this whole worshipping you thing. And I was just, you know, a product of my time. So please don't punish me. No, no. Everybody has the baseline of the fitrah. Every single human being has been given that. And then based on that, they will be judged. Who is the judge of that? That is obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we don't know how much a person has suppressed or acted upon their fitrah. But Allah most certainly does know. There are also people on the day of judgment who will come and they would say, oh Allah, I was, you know, disabled mentally or physically. I could not have followed a prophet. Oh Allah, I never heard the message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a test for them on the day of judgment. Because he will never punish a person without them receiving the message. It's impossible. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. So this is a very important part. And Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجُونَ. And thus we explain our signs in detail so perhaps that they may return to us. The surah concludes. I'm going to skip to the conclusion here. You can read the passage about the man who we gave our signs to, a very important passage. But the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes with is right here. In the very last part, ayah number 196, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes by saying, إِنَّ وَلِيَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابِ. My protector is God who has sent down the book, and for it is He who protects the righteous. Against the battle between truth and falsehood, Allah is the protector. Allah is the one who is with the people of the truth. Okay, He says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, people of the truth, demonstrate your good character by the following actions. Be tolerant. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. Take tolerance. Literally like seize it. Meaning make this a habit in times that are good and times that are bad. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. Enjoin what is good, what is right. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And ignore the ignorant. Okay? إِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. If an evil impulse from Satan provokes you to say something, to act irrationally, to say something regrettable, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ then say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ, because he is hearing, and all knowing. Okay? Allah says, the people who are righteous, it's not like they will never get, they'll never make a mistake, or they will never slip up. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. When an evil suggestion from Satan touches those who fear God, they instantly are alerted and they instantly become watchful. Okay? This is something that happens. We make a mistake, but then we are alerted to that mistake and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to make amends. Right? And that's a beautiful process that happens, and we should be comfortable with that and we should embrace that. We shouldn't be down upon ourselves if we make a mistake, because that will be too harsh. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this surah by reminding us that وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ, when the Qur'an is read, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ, listen to it with attention, وَأَنْصِتُوا, and hold your peace so that you may receive mercy. Because the Qur'an should be listened attentively so we can understand and then act upon it. So this is وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا, remember your Lord deep in your very soul. نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا, with humility and awe. This is remembrance of Allah, the adhkar, remembering of His grace, His favors, His amazing sign, through His words, through the words of His Prophet, through dua, دُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, without raising your voice, بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْأَصَالِ, morning and evening, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, and don't be of those who are heedless. Don't, leaving remembrance of Allah, those private moments where we reflect on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on His words, if we leave that for too long, we become susceptible to becoming the heedless, the ones who are at a situation at risk of losing their spirituality, losing their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way we make sure we keep our connection with Allah is remembering Him through His words, through the Quran that is His speech, through the du'as of His Prophet, and through personal contemplation. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, even the angels who live in the presence of your Lord are not too proud to worship Him. They glorify Him and prostrate themselves before Him. وَيُسَبِّحُونَهُ وَلَهُ يَسْجُدُونَ. This is the end of Surah Al-A'raf. We will begin Surah Al-Anfal inshallah tomorrow. Surah Al-Anfal tomorrow would be a good way to begin it tomorrow, because as you will see, a lot of the things about Surah Al-Anfal are spread over between the 8th, the 9th and the 10th juz. So it might be beneficial to just take it up all together inshallah tomorrow. Barakallahu feekum for attending. Inshallah, I'll see you all tomorrow, same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa iyyakum. Wa alaikum assalam.